The High Court has rejected the latest challenge to the Affordable Care Act. The decision saves subsidies for as many as 8 million people, including tens of thousands of Iowans. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, reaction to the ruling, what it means for the future of Obamacare. Our ACA public policy expert, Pete Damiano of the University of Iowa, joins us, as well as attorney Ryan Copemans of Nyemaster Good in Des Moines. Then, religious figures in Iowa react to the Pope's encyclical on the environment and give us their thoughts on climate change and faith. That's all coming up. First, this hour's news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We had planned to talk about the potential of having fireworks become legal in Iowa, but we threw that overboard, and we will get the fireworks out on a future program, perhaps next week, and talk about the momentous decision handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court today. Chew it over a little bit from a couple of different perspectives and hopefully have some input from your reaction to this morning's Supreme Court decision upholding healthcare insurance subsidies for all 50 states. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. The U.S. Supreme Court ruling this morning on the latest challenge. This is the third challenge, to a critical part of Obamacare, to save subsidies for as many as 8 million people under the Affordable Care Act, including tens of thousands of Iowans. The case, King versus Burwell. Justices determined that the subsidies should be available in states that don't have their own exchanges. A vote of 6-3 in favor upholding the subsidies. Chief Justice John Roberts siding with the majority, writing the opinion. Swing vote Justice Anthony Kenney joining the majority as well. At the White House today, this is a reaction from President Obama.
This law is working, and it's going to keep doing just that. 5 years in, this is no longer about a law. This is not about the Affordable Care Act as legislation or Obamacare as a political football. This is healthcare in America. And unlike Social Security or Medicare, a lot of Americans still don't know what Obamacare is beyond all the political noise in Washington. Across the country, there remain people who are directly benefiting from the law, but don't even know it. And that's okay. There's no card that says Obamacare when you enroll. But that's by design, for this has never been a government takeover of healthcare, despite cries to the contrary. This reform remains what it's always been, a set of fairer rules and tougher protections that have made healthcare in America more affordable, more attainable, and more about you, the consumer, the American people. It's working.
Speaking outside the White House this morning, President Obama reacting to the Supreme Court decision upholding a critical part of Obamacare having to do with subsidies. Joining us now to talk about a couple of different facets of it, Ryan Copemans, attorney at Nyemaster Good in Des Moines, in our Des Moines studio. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hello, Ryan. We'll get your mic on there in a second. Pete Damiano, director for the Public Policy Center at the University of Iowa, our ACA public policy expert, as you have become over the last couple of years. Pete Damiano, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ben.
Ryan, let me go to you first of all. Explain a little more detail in the majority decision, the reasoning behind it, this decision written by Chief Justice John Roberts.
My mic on now? You got
yes,
me now?
Yes, right, we've got good. You loud and clear.
Happy to be here. Thanks. So let me first very quickly set up what the problem was. So as you talked about, the Affordable Care Act allows for tax credits or subsidies for those who qualify for them. But it says that those tax credits are only available if you purchase your insurance on an exchange that was, quote, established by the state. And so we have two kinds of exchanges. We have those that are established by the state, and we have those that are established by the federal government when the state fails to do that. So the kind of basic, elementary argument was, well, established by the state means just that. It doesn't mean established by the federal government. So if, as in Iowa, the federal government created the exchange, then people who buy insurance aren't given tax credits. And what the president said was, he said, well, the Affordable Care Act is working. And what Chief Justice Roberts said in kind of dismissing this latest attack on the Affordable Care Act is, well, maybe so, but if tax credits aren't available for federal exchanges, then it wouldn't work at all. In fact, it would absolutely fall apart, and I cannot believe that the legislature would have intended for this law to fall apart and create a, quote, death spiral in the insurance industry. Therefore, established by the state really must have been a mistake. Really, it means established by the state or the federal government, meaning tax credits are available on every kind of exchange, and therefore the law will proceed as it had been applied the last few years. Mm-hmm. It was somewhat of a surprising decision. I mean, it was a
6-3 was the surprise, wasn't it?
We
didn't know Roberts was on board. We thought Kennedy might be.
Right, exactly. And well, you know, the last case we had, the Affordable Care Act requires people to buy insurance. We had the mandate case a few years ago. And Roberts was in the majority there, but it was 5-4. So Kennedy was in the dissent that time. So we get both Roberts and Kennedy here. But I think it was a bigger surprise that Roberts was in the majority in this case. I was surprised. So we have a 6-3, not a bare minimum.
Right. So. Justice Anthony Scalia dissenting there in his dissent. One notable line, he writes, "We should start calling this law SCOTUS Care instead of Obamacare." So his reasoning behind that was much different than the majority opinion.
Yeah, and here's one of his lines. A couple good quotes from Justice Scalia in his dissent. You know, he's always quite punchy, and which makes for good quoting. He says, "The normal rules of interpretation seem always to yield to the overriding principle of the present court. The Affordable Care Act must be saved." And, you can imagine him saying it in that kind of voice, too. Mm-hmm. He also calls the Justice Roberts' arguments at one time pure applesauce, and at another time he calls it interpretive jiggery pokery. I think I said that right, and I looked it up. It means deceitful or dishonest behavior.
Okay.
So he was not pleased.
Pete Damiano of the Public Policy Center at the University of Iowa, what does it mean for the Affordable Care Act going forward now that this decision is in?
For most of the things that we're talking about, it means there's not going to be a change as a result of this law. So the federal, and in particular, the people who are eligible for subsidies, primarily single adults up to 400% of poverty, will still be eligible to purchase subsidized private insurance through the exchanges, depending, regardless of what state you are in. So Iowa, for example, has a partnership model. Most states are either federal or state model, as Ryan talked about. Iowa is one of the few that's a partnership model where the state has retained some control over eligibility and some other things, but still uses the federal exchange, and so there won't be any change in Iowa.
Okay, there would have been. Iowa would have been one of those 34 states that would have been affected.
Most likely. Again, because of the partnership model, it isn't entirely clear, but most likely, and then how much change. Most likely it would have been, but maybe the change wouldn't have been as great in Iowa as some other states. But then you would have had to have the political will to enter into the debate and the discussion to make the change to, a state exchange. And actually, a few years ago, the governor and others had talked about the possibility that Iowa would morph into a state exchange at some point. Mm-hmm. I've not heard any discussion about that more recently.
And this
though.
Decision would not give it any impetus to move out of the present configuration for Iowa?
Not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of efficiencies that can be gained by just using the healthcare.gov site now that it's working fine after the first couple of months. And why spend all of the money and do all of that if you're in a state that hasn't used it? There's already been a number of states that tried setting up a state exchange, failed for various reasons. They've now, in the last year, have turned over and are now using the healthcare.gov site. You know, that's basically an IT issue. It's not a healthcare issue. So why spend the time and energy doing that?
Okay. A couple of hours ago, the Supreme Court issuing this decision, rejecting the latest challenge to the Affordable Care Act. Pete Damiano with us at the University of Iowa. Ryan Copmans of Nyemaster Good in Des Moines. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. A couple of Facebook comments. Ruth on our Facebook page. I don't see this so much as a win for the Obama administration as a win. As a win for the people who will continue getting subsidies. Brian on our Facebook page, no mention of constitutional basis for us for this. Just upheld because Congress meant everyone to be covered. I have no idea why we have laws or a constitution. You're a legal expert there, Ryan. Do you, can you, Brian, chiming in there with Justice Scalia a little bit, huh?
Well, no constitutional issue in this one, and even Scalia would agree with that. This was just a matter of whether the legislature intended to cover federal exchanges. There's certainly no argument that it can't cover.
Okay, them. So this was the intent of the law that the Congress made in question, not a constitutional question.
Right, right. And there was an argument, you know, talk about how we talked a second ago about how there really isn't that much of an incentive now for states who have used federal exchanges to switch to state exchanges. And that was part of the argument. It was said, well, maybe Congress, it seems kind of crazy that they would not provide tax credits to these federal exchanges, but maybe that was their point. Maybe they were trying to have a carrot, a very big carrot, for states to create their own exchanges so that the states would have the burden of doing this, and the carrot, of course, being the tax credits.
Okay.
That was rejected.
Let's go to our caller in Des Moines. Is it Kyra in Des Moines?
It's Kira.
Kira, I'm sorry. Kira, welcome to our program.
Hi.
What's your reaction to the ruling today?
Well, I am one of thousands of Iowans that work in the insurance industry. And like you had been discussing earlier, we'd been functioning on the intent or the interpretation of the law. I'm glad that we don't have to change course suddenly because, you know, that had been a big issue in discussion amongst my colleagues, and it would have caused a huge amount of extra work and difficulty trying to figure out how to then reinsure all of these people who could no longer afford it.
Okay, so from insurance industry perspective, your perspective, relief.
Yes, very much so. A lot of relief for me, and I think a lot of relief for the people that have to use the exchanges.
Okay, Pete Damiano on that point?
Right, and I think that's a very good point. In addition to that IT kind of, whether it's at a state or federal level that I was talking about, insurance is regulated at the state level in the United States, and so the state regulatory control is still there and still very important, and then all of those ripples that affect, you know, the insurance industry. And again, a lot of this is about private insurance. This isn't about the Medicaid expansion component of it, although ultimately that could have been affected down the road. But this is really the private insurance side. And then, you know, with our state insurance commissioner and others that are still doing the regulatory aspects of the insurance, and that will continue on, which is a real important piece of this.
Politically, politicians chiming in, mostly along party lines, it seems today, as I've received numerous email press releases, this part of what Joni Ernst had to say, our newest senator. I remain committed to working towards a sustainable health care system that puts the focus back on Iowa families and individuals, which is why I support repealing and replacing Obamacare with affordable, patient-centered alternatives. Despite what happens in the political arena, Pete Damiano, practically speaking, what can we say at Obamacare? It's secured now, at least through the elections of 2016. So what does that say now that it's passed this challenge, this hurdle, practically speaking, politics aside?
Politics aside, most of the things that we're talking about will remain, as you're suggesting. Anything that's going to come through, you've got sort of the political process of this and the legal process. Could there be another legal challenge? You know, of course there could. I'm not aware of any others. Ryan might be coming up that could have a major effect on the political side. There will be people that will oppose it, but as long as President Obama's there, right, it's probably not going to go further. So these things that we're talking about are unlikely to change. On the delivery system side, though, however, and at the state level, that's where there is a lot of activity going on, whether it's the Medicaid managed care effort that's going on in Iowa or different kinds of delivery system changes, the accountable care organizations, and the development of networks like Unity Point and the University Alliance, and all of those things are still going to be happening. And those are really going to be probably more likely to affect people directly than any of the major federal things. And that's where I would agree with President Obama when he says it's not a federal takeover, because there's so much activity and variation from state to state. Some is good, some's actually not so good. It's going to create inefficiencies. But that's where a lot of the activity and the things to watch, in my opinion, are.
Mm-hmm. What about one of the criticisms that's the opponents have always mentioned, less so in recent days, that it would raise the cost of health care in this country? Early days still yet for the Affordable Care Act. Do we have any definitive numbers that tell us if it's increased health care costs or slowed the rise of very rapidly expanding healthcare costs?
Well, what we do know is globally over the last 5 years, we'd have had the lowest rate in healthcare inflation in the last 50 years. Can you attribute all of that to the Affordable Care Act? No. I mean, you had the economy and other kinds of things going on, and it does look like that level of healthcare inflation is starting to tick up a little bit, and it's probably not, you know, put to rest forever. But right now, both the cost of the insurance products and other aspects of healthcare have been staying down, and somewhat a surprise to many people, particularly the price of the products going into the exchanges, because those are not mandated. Those are based on competition with some oversight of the state insurance commissioner.
Ryan Copeman's, let's talk about the other big decision. We're waiting as early as tomorrow, I guess. Today's probably not going to happen, but who knows? These cases can be announced at any time. The same-sex marriage case that will potentially legalize same-sex marriage in all 50 states, that is expected to go a certain way?
I think it's expected that they will go the way that Iowa did, which is to say that there is a right to same-sex marriage under the Constitution. How they do that exactly will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if the opinion differs somewhat from Iowa. There's some theories out there that Justice Roberts could again kind of come in and be in the majority of that opinion and have a differing view on that topic. But I think it's I wouldn't bet against that.
Mm-hmm. We've seen so much change in public attitudes towards same-sex marriage just within the last 5 or 10 years. When you talk about the Supreme Court or any court, how much do they take into account public opinion when ruling on the law?
Well, of course, most of the time they say we don't. Public opinion doesn't matter. But I think you have to be somewhat naive to think that to be completely true. These are human beings, and public opinion has some effect. And I think Justice Ginsburg actually has been kind of open that it may indeed have an effect. And in that way, I think she thinks that the Supreme Court shouldn't get too far ahead of the people. And the reason she thinks that is because she thinks that that can actually hold up progress. For example, in the right to an abortion, I think she believed that because it came earlier and the states were kind of moving through the legislative process to go where she wanted to go, that Roe v. Wade kind of made things more divisive than they needed to be. And perhaps that's what we saw a couple of years ago with the same-sex marriage cases then, is that they only went so far, didn't go all the way. And now, after I think some 30-some states have now legalized it, most of them through court decision, I think she probably believes that the country is now ready.
Mm-hmm. We had another, overshadowed by this this decision that was issued this morning, another decision that the Supreme Court issued this morning, ruling 5-4 that housing policies and practices with discriminatory outcomes can be challenged under the Fair Housing Act, even if there was no intent to discriminate. In the moments we have left, tell us a little bit about this case and its significance, Ryan.
Well, this is a case in which the state of Texas was giving out some tax credits, and they happened to be giving them out in locations which were more predominantly minority and less Caucasian. And a lawsuit was brought, said, well, we know you are not intentionally kind of segregating everyone, so there's no intent to discriminate, but we think this has, as you said, a discriminatory effect, an unequal effect. And so therefore they brought the claim under the Fair Housing Act, which prohibits practices that are done because of race. And so the question is something that has an effect on a racial minority, but not intentionally so, is that done because of race? And the U.S. Supreme Court said yes in a sharply divided 5-4 decision. And the surprise here is that it came out in favor of what's called disparate disparate impact. I think people had all thought that the Supreme Court was going to go the other way on this one. So this is, as you said, taking a back seat. I think we'll hear more about this in the coming days, but it was a big decision.
Mm-hmm. Other ones we're waiting for, 4 other decisions that I can count on my list. Let's take some time just having you give us a quick idea of what those are about. One involving lethal injection.
Yeah, a claim under the Cruel and Unusual Punishment Clause failed a few years ago, saying that the drug cocktail was not cruel and unusual. Now that is the issue has come up again to the Supreme Court, and we've seen some botched executions recently, so we'll see if that has an effect. That will be a split decision for sure. We have a case which is kind of a sleeper, but it's called Johnson versus United States, and it's really at its heart a sentencing case and kind of a mandatory minimum sentence. If you have committed a violent felony, then you are subject to this 15-year mandatory minimum. Anyone who has ever tried to apply that law knows it is very difficult to apply. What is a violent felony? And Scalia has actually suggested that it may be unconstitutional because it's just so vague, and that's the question that the court will probably be answering there. We also have an EPA case on a power plant, and I think I've went through the list. Is that right?
Okay, there was one still about congressional redistricting. I don't know if you looked at that. This is a case from Arizona.
Arizona is now using a commission, somewhat different than what Iowa does, but the legislature is no longer doing the districting. It's the commission. And so the point, of course, is to prevent gerrymandering. And the question is whether when the Constitution says that process is put in the state legislators, whether the legislature of those states can then put it into a commission, whether they can abdicate that duty. So that will be a big case. I don't think it will affect Iowa's law, but it could. So mm-hmm. We will see.
Okay. Pete Damiano, going back to our lead story from the Supreme Court, to reiterate for any of those who have just joined us, the repercussions for Iowans, and there were tens of thousands of Iowans who could have lost subsidies to their health insurance under Obamacare because of this ruling, stays the same. Those subsidies are there, are available, whether you take advantage of them or not.
Correct. And there's been an estimate of about 35,000 people that would have been affected in Iowa immediately. There are probably other adults that are still uninsured that might be able to purchase that insurance through the exchanges in the future. They're expecting the numbers to grow as people get more comfortable with the system and change over time, just like Medicare took a number of years to, when it was first put in 65, to sort of roll in. And I think that's a concern of the opponents. The longer that this goes on, the more difficult it's going to be to sort of unweave it from the fabric, because there will be this expectation.
Mm-hmm. The president, in his comments this morning, made the remark that it doesn't matter, but many people don't know what Obamacare is. Do you find that in the realm of public policy that
we do. And
in what way don't they know what it
well,
is?
Well, there's so much stigma attached to the term Obamacare that when you then ask people about the pieces and parts, do you believe children should be able to stay on their parents' policies at 26? Absolutely. You know, should you get rid of pre-existing conditions, annual maximums, add more automatic preventive coverage, all of these things that are also part of it? It's sort of a yes, 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 and yes. Is Obamacare good or bad? Oh, no, you know, it's evil. The government's going to take it over. So there still is that perception in different groups. The polls are nudging up sort of on in general about it, and I think the more people actually understand what it is and are personally affected, because many people thought it was for somebody else,
right?
But now that they're going to feel some effect here or there, okay. I think some of that will change.
Very interesting. Obamacare, when asked as one question, gets perhaps a thumbs down by many. When asked in its component what it actually represents, it gets many more thumbs ups.
Right.
Okay, very good. Pete Damiano, thank you very much. Director for the Public Policy Center at the University of Iowa. Ryan Copeman's attorney at Nymaster Good in Des Moines. Gentlemen, thank you for giving us more perspective on this latest decision by the Supreme Court.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
When we come back, religious figures in Iowa react to the Pope's encyclical that was issued last Thursday on the environment. That's when we return. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Good to have you with us.